Well, we are continuing in our series that we began on the first Sunday in January about the year 2023 being a year of apostolic expansion. That's for us, lengthening our cords, stretching out our tent stakes, stepping more fully into understanding fivefold ministry, and being a church that is encountering God's presence, equipping people with God's Word, being empowered by God's Spirit, connecting with God's people, mobilizing around God's purposes, and deploying into God's plans. So we want to increase in measure in all those ways. And so this series is focused on that, and this Sunday and next Sunday we'll probably conclude this series. But today, and I think it's very appropriate the way the Lord has orchestrated this service, we're going to be talking about the living, eternal Word of God. The living, eternal Word of God. And our culture, our world, desperately needs a greater understanding of just how dynamic and powerful God's Word is. I want to share a couple of scriptures with you. These are foundational scriptures for this series, Matthew chapter 16. I want to read them again. And I want you to notice, again, we've seen this, but I'm reminding you, we're building, this is building on itself, okay? Jesus asked, "Who do men say that I am?" And here's Peter's answer. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now that's the confession of Christianity. Why don't we confess that again together this morning? Speaking of Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah," Simon son of Jonah, "for flesh and blood," now notice this, "flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Simply put, Peter got a revelation from God. Jesus had just previously asked, "Who does everybody say that I am?" And they gave their opinions. Jeremiah, John the Baptist, one of the prophets. But Peter got his information directly from God. It was not based on human opinion. It was a revelation from God. And that's what changes our lives. When we come to the place where God actually speaks to us. And very often the way that comes, he speaks to us through the written word, and it is the living word that becomes alive in us. Now, as I mentioned previously, you know, Peter did good here. Three verses later, not so good. Because Jesus begins to tell them, "I'm going to go, I'm going to be delivered up, I'm going to die." And Peter said, "No, that's not going to happen. I won't let that happen." And we see in the verse 23, Jesus, it says, he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man." Even Peter, who got the revelation directly from God about the identity of Jesus, a short time later, now he's really moving on this revelation. He's going to take care of Jesus. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. He didn't realize that he was moving out of human emotion. He was moving out of his own human mind. And that's where the enemy will begin to speak to us. The enemy will speak to you through your mind. We see that here. Satan's voice moving through human opinions. Our culture is on fire with this right now. Moving on human opinions. And Satan is working through that to separate people from the revelation of God that they desperately need. Let me give you a little contrast. This past Sunday night, a week ago tonight, there was a gathering of in a arena that would seat about 20,000 people. They met in Los Angeles, California. And there was a performance on stage that was given. There was a pop duo composed of two people who primarily were doing the singing. One was a man from Britain by the name of Sam Smith. Now, he claims and wants people to acknowledge that his identity is he is a fluid, non-binary person. And he much prefers to be called they or them instead of he or him. Accompanying him as the other half of this duo is a person called Petrus. Interestingly, this is the Greek word for Peter's name. A little bit of difference between this Peter and the one I'm telling you about. He was born in Germany. At the age of 13, he chose to begin the process of transitioning, and now he is a transgender female. They, on stage, performed a song entitled Unholy, the lyrics of which I will not read or share from this pulpit. Because it truly is very unholy. They were clad in red, glossy, plastic-looking suits. One had horns on his head. The other was behind a cage in their demonic suit, surrounded by demonic acolytes who had whips. The singer, Sam Smith, singing a song surrounded by demonic acolytes, people dressed like demons, fondling, falling before them. And they sang their song to an audience packed with celebrities, well-known musicians, and artists. The elite of the entertainment industry, if you will, in Hollywood. Not only that, they were actually awarded a Grammy for the song. They won their category, which means that those who voted and decided that believed that theirs was the most spectacular and incredible and awesome performance and song among everyone else in their genre. Now, interestingly, this was broadcast by CBS television. And they tweeted before this aired Sam Smith did. He tweeted that this is going to be a special program. Then CBS tweeted back saying this, you can say that again. We are ready to worship. Now, this was a whole scene acted out to glorify and exalt Satan himself. They were dressed like Satan, surrounded by demons like Satan is, singing a song unholy. One person singing from behind bars in a cage. It was blasphemous. Now, they can do that, I believe, in freedom of speech. But we have the freedom of speech to say we don't like that. You know, this is happening in our nation, and millions of people watched and wildly applauded, the audience did at least, wildly applauded and celebrated this, quote, fine performance, end quote. Now, by contrast, 2,163 miles away, 3 days later, on a Wednesday morning chapel service, there was a group of young people that were gathering, and they liked music. And they were doing some praise and worship. And in front of that platform, all of a sudden, boys and girls, young men, young women, started coming up, getting on their knees, confessing their sins, repenting to God, begin to praise God and worship God. Chapel concluded, but they didn't. And as far as I know, Pastor Doc and them just got back yesterday. It's still going on up there. Repenting. Confess, this is an Asbury University in Wilmore, Kentucky, who has a history. This is like the seventh time this kind of thing has happened there through the years. It's amazing. But what a contrast. It reminds me of 1 Kings chapter 18. When the man of God summoned a nation and said, meet me on Mount Carmel. And the prophets of the groves and the prophets of the Baals gathered. And then Elijah, the prophet of God, was there. And they had a Super Bowl a little different than the one we'll see this afternoon. Because it was, if you will, in a loose sense, a contest between Baal and Jehovah God. And Elijah stood before the nation and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If Baal is God, worship him. If the Lord, Jehovah, is God, then worship him. And folks, the dividing line is becoming clearer and clearer. Which side are you going to be? The Ahabs and the Jezebels and the Baal worshipers of our day are gathering overtly, publicly, braggingly, proudly, sinfully. Let the God who be God move powerfully. And I love what's happening in Wilmore, Kentucky. And that's what's going to change this nation. Because, listen, those people on the stage in Los Angeles and the people that celebrate that, they're one step away from being sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ. With what? The same thing that's happening in those young people in Wilmore. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Solomon's day, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. It is God's heart to forgive. It is God's heart to heal. God wants nations to be whole. He wants nations to be his. It's a promise he made to his son in Psalm 2. Ask me and I'll give you the nations. Jesus did. He went to the cross. And here's what's interesting. Jesus, who paved the way as our forerunner, who now makes salvation available to us, the same enemy working in culture today, the same voice of Satan that's coming into minds and resulting in things like we saw in Los Angeles. I didn't see it. I read about it and I looked at some still shots. Don't care to see it, to be honest with you. But the same enemy that gets people thinking that way and living that way came against Jesus. Now I want to ask you a question. And I know this is elementary. But when Jesus was tempted, what did he use? What did he rely upon to stave off the demonic influence that was working through Satan? The Word of God. The living, eternal Word of God. Turn these stones into bread. You know, the enemy does us this way because what he wants to do is to activate your imagination. Because you have that power. That's part of the image of God in us, to see something that does not exist and act on what we're seeing that does not exist and then bring it into being. Satan knows that, so he wants to hijack that part of us made in the image of God that allows us to see powerful things happen, that allows us to see things change and be better because of the innovation, ideas, the dreams, the visions, the inspiration we get from the Lord through the Holy Spirit. He does that stuff. His gifts operate that way often. Well, the enemy knows that, so he wants to plant those seeds in your imagination. See those stones? Those are bread. You can make those bread. But Jesus, he responded, man does not live by bread alone. He wasn't denying that he could do something like, but he would forfeit his mission had he done it. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, was Jesus perfect? Okay, I'm going to ask you again. You don't even have to hesitate, okay? Was Jesus perfect?
Yes.
Was he powerful?
Yes.
Was he full of the Word?
Yes.
Note, all that's true, but he himself still relied on the power of God's Word. Just by quoting the Scripture, he shut down the enemy's demonic engineering that would result in the forfeiture of his destiny. Works the same way with us. Oh, well, see, here's the pinnacle, this high place. Show us that you're God's son. Jump off. Doesn't the Scripture say that his angels will bear you up? You see, the devil's clever. Oh, okay, you're going to use the Word. Well, I know the Word too. Let me use it. A lot of things that are not God can be launched out of the word that is God's. By mishandling it, misinterpreting it, abusing it, misusing it. And so Jesus said again, it is written, like he did the first time, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In other words, the angel saving him, that would be up to the Father, and he wasn't going to tempt him. Third thing, he's putting it all on the table now, because he said, I'll give you the nations. If you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give you the nations. Well, that's his inheritance. There's a prophetic word. Ask me and I'll give you the nations. The enemy, again, is trying to get him to take the shortcut to get what he came to do. And he's still doing it, by the way, because when he left, he said, go into the nations and preach the gospel until I come back. The enemy wanted him to take the shortcut so that he wouldn't have to release those nations, because the Bible says that he is the God of this age. He's the prince of the power of the air. But when Jesus defeated him at the cross, things shifted. Then Jesus could say, all authority is given me in heaven and earth. Now, we can go take the nations. So Jesus used the word. He said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shall you serve. Today we are living in a time when there is an attack and assault on the integrity of God's word. As a matter of fact, though, it's been true ever since God created the world. Today, there are people, well, quote, educated people, end quote, who will say, just dismiss the Bible. It's humanly fabricated. It can't trust it. It's just what a bunch of folks wrote. And like Marx said, it's the opiate of the people. It's just a way to control people and manipulate people. Dismiss it. There are those who will say, it's outdated, it's antiquated, it's irrelevant. Just ignore it. It really doesn't speak to us in our modern world today. People didn't understand back then the way things are. I mean, we progressed. That's the reason we're hearing so much now about progressive Christianity. It's changing, but it's not progressive. Then there are those that, yes, the Bible, God's word is in the Bible. There is truth in the Bible. But in our modern world, we now have a better understanding. So we're gonna update it. We're going to revise it. And that's happening. All of a sudden, Jesus, for some people to be Christian, they don't even think it's required to believe that Jesus is deity. So in their mind, a man who was a sinner just like them was able to die and rescue them from their sin. It's sad. This is happening. And parents and grandparents, it is important as never before that we disciple our children and teach them just the basic, rudimentary teachings of Scripture. So very, very important. But the enemy's voice will try to penetrate and deceive us into believing his bill of goods, his pack of lies. Now, I want you to think about this with me. When God created Adam and Eve and placed them in a garden, and you've heard me teach this many times, they were both perfect, right? I mean, God, here's how we know that. After God created the woman, you know, after he created man, he said it's good. After he created the woman, he said it's very good. I should get some A-womans. Somebody said, you know, he created man and then created woman, and that finished him off. No, it completed him. Because that was God's pattern, a male and a female co-laboring together, a picture of Christ and his church as we are now laboring together in the world. But in that garden with two perfect people, in a perfect place called paradise, with a complete and pure fellowship with God, there was no sin. There was no breach in relationship or fellowship. Two thumbs up, all good. Very good. God himself said that. And yet, the serpent was allowed to speak in that place. Now, for no other reason, that's a good reason to believe in freedom of speech. I mean, in the perfect place God created, and he lets the serpent talk. It was part of his plan. Because he didn't create robots. He created human beings made in his image who had volition and the ability to make choices. And it's interesting when you think about Eve in chapter 3, when she, you know, they're forbidden. They can eat from the tree of life. They'll live forever. But they are not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's called a boundary. They had big boundaries. This is all yours. This is yours. You oversee it as my under regent. I'm giving you dominion. I want you to be fruitful. I want you to multiply. I want you to fill the earth. I want you to till, tend, and keep, and subdue. I'm putting you in charge over everything I've created. There's one thing, hands off. You're forbidden to eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So, as long as they're here at the tree of life, doing what God calls, it's all perfect. But for whatever reason, one day, Eve finds herself there, and then later, Adam joins her, and just looking at that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she's perfect. She's never sinned. But God created a world in which she would have choice, and the enemy was allowed to tempt. Just like Jesus, who was perfect. The enemy was allowed to tempt him. He was tempted in all points like we are, yet he never sinned, Hebrews 4 teaches us. Are you with me? So Eve is standing there, and then the serpent begins to speak, because now Lucifer, the fallen angel, Satan, is working through the serpent. I mentioned this briefly last week. And the serpent begins to speak. Very subtle. The Bible says the most subtle creature, and that's who the devil chose to work through. Sometimes it's the most subtle, clever, shrewd people that the enemy might use to try to weave a web in your mind and hold you hostage for the devil. And so she's looking at the fruit. And I'm paraphrasing here. Isn't that fruit? Isn't that a beautiful fruit? Oh, yeah, that's a beautiful fruit. I bet it tastes good. Yeah. You ought to grab a bite. You ought to try it. I bet it'd be good. No, we're not supposed to, you know, God said we're not supposed to. Yea, hath God said. I mean, are you really understanding, let me stretch it out a little bit here. Are you really understanding what the Bible's really saying? I mean, is that really what God's saying? God's just telling you that because he knows when you eat this, why he's keeping that for himself. Because when you eat it, you're really not going to need him. You're going to be like him. You know, you won't even have to be second in charge. You can just be in charge. So it worked something like that. But he appealed to the imagination. Imagine what that tastes like. Imagine what it'd be like to be like God. Now when I'm pondering this and thinking through this, how this must have played out, you know, again, I'm thinking, well, Eve and then Adam with her, both of them, they are perfect. They're full of the Spirit, right? They got God's wisdom, right? They received God's word, right? They're fellowshipping with God, right? So you would think their discernment would be very high-level discernment. I mean, we have Christians that say, you know, I got enough of the word to me. I'm not worried about being deceived. What about Adam and Eve? They were perfect. They didn't even have to deal with the fallen nature and latent tendencies that we have to deal with over the years. They didn't have to overcome the stuff that we had to overcome to get to a place to overcome temptation. They had never fallen to temptation, never really experienced this is it. The enemy staged this. He set it up. But he's appealing to the image of God in them to use it and pervert it, to use it in wrong ways, to access the wisdom and information of God so that they can operate on a higher level and be like God. And so today, people are basically saying they know more than God knows. I've heard preachers who historically have been men of the book, women of the book, take that same book now and said, I've changed my mind. I just don't believe God really means this. That was a long time ago when he said God created them male and female. God's just keeping something back from you. You shouldn't believe he really formed you in your mother's womb and that he chose for you to be a male or he chose for you to be a female. That kind of thinking is going to keep you from being who you really are, experiencing the life you could really have. This is happening. This is happening. And parents, be careful because other people will teach this to your kids when you're not there. Now, I'm hoping not to, this area, I'm grateful we live in the area that we do. But don't think some of that thinking hasn't infiltrated our area. If Jesus Christ, who is perfect, when it came time, when the enemy came with his lies, he chose, you know what? It is written, and this is where I'm standing. I'm not going to allow my imagination to take me somewhere that the Bible won't take me. I am not going to allow my imagination to envision a life that could be better than the one God says in his book that he has for me. I'm not going to use the image in God and me to try to seduce and spin a web on other people and try to lead them away from the truth of the book. And this is what is happening. And so we need to be grounded. May I say, doctrine is a wonderful word. It's found in the scripture. It just basically means the teachings of the scriptures. There has to be a standard. Now, I'm thinking if something was here that brought order and everything before we got here as human beings, that predates us in that way, that's probably a better standard than the one we're going to dream up on our own. Hebrews 11, verse 3 said that God, that the worlds that were framed by the Word of God. The Bible says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Jesus Christ. And through Him, God created everything that He created. Colossians bears that out. Hebrews bears that out. John's Gospel bears that out. Jesus himself is the eternal Logos. The Word, the Logos, became flesh, dwelled among us. That's Jesus. And John said, if you saw him, he declared the Father. The Greek word is he exegeted God. He explained God. That's the reason Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, you want to know what God looks like? Look at me, Jesus said. I and the Father, we are one. I read this morning out of Colossians, he expressed the image of God. Paul wrote and said he was the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. And Jesus is the head of the church. The fact that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God, is the foundation on which we stand. And when he stood on this earth, the way he said that he governed his life was, it is written. It's the Word of God. It's the standard. Look what Peter said. This is the Peter that got the revelation of who Jesus was. The Peter that was also rebuked for allowing the devil to talk through him. This letter was written. He says in this letter, I know I'm going to die soon. Just like the Lord said. And he did. And he was crucified upside down. He died for Christ. He said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Word is not of human origin. All this stuff going on out there is of human origin, And the enemy is speaking through that. Deceiving people, leading them into error and deception, and then using them to propagate it. That sounds familiar. Yep, it's a copy and pervert method. Because God has now, through His Son, put His Holy Spirit in us and given us a message to distribute that changes the lives of people. So there's your contrast. The thief, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's a deceiver. He's the father of lies. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. This world system is governed by the lies and deception of the enemy. And our mission, people, is, yes, this can make us righteously angry. But if all we're doing is getting mad, is we're not nowhere near. We're not anywhere near the right place. Jesus came seeking and saving the lost. Revelation time, lost people act like lost people. We're all sinners. We're just sinners who found Jesus and have now become children of God. Our identity is no longer a sinner, lost and separated from God. But we have the awareness we're all sinners without the grace of God, without the saving work of Jesus Christ. People need the Lord. And the way they come to know Him is through the Word of God. We can't argue somebody into the kingdom. We can't use psychology and slip them in. It takes the revelation of the Word of God contained in the gospel, accompanied by the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, moving on a human heart to bring a person to confront the fact, I am lost, I am undone, sin has me bound, I need a Savior. Thank you, Jesus, save me. That's the gospel. But the clever methodology of the enemy is to take the Word of God that contains the gospel and to begin to revise it so that you can have Jesus and your sin without any repentance. That coming to Christ doesn't mean you've got to change anything. The Word of God is clear. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. What happened to the old? The old is gone. The new is come. We have a new identity in Christ. This is the power of God's Word. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let your minds be renewed through the Word of God. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and they had all kind of immoral lifestyles going on. He said, such were some of you. You were in darkness, but now you've come to the light. You were in the kingdom of darkness, but now God has translated you into the kingdom of His own dear Son. And this is the message the world needs, because this message of the gospel of the kingdom is to be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. So we must be a people of the book. We must believe the book. It's so important. Revelation. This is very briefly. Let me share this with you. Revelation. That means God reveals His Word to us. Inspiration. That means that there were men that were told about that the Holy Spirit moved upon them, that they were able to receive that revelation and record it for us. God oversaw that process of inspiration. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Theonoustos. It is God-breathed. The words that they were given, God-breathed on those words. They still have life in them. When you read the book today, though it was given millennial ago, it still has life on it because the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And the last thing, illumination. As we, or as a person, reads the Scripture, just like these awesome stories that Dave shared, as we read the Scriptures, we get illumination. We begin to understand what we're reading and apply it to our lives. When we apply it to our lives, it transforms us as we step into it, act on it, and obey it, and we become salt and light in our culture. We become witnesses unto Him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are no different than Peter. Getting a revelation one moment, but if we're not careful and we're not discerning, we're speaking for the devil the next moment. It's flesh, you know, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, and then get behind me, Satan. Those just kind of happen without discernment. And Adam and Eve should have, they should have had discernment better than anyone. But yet, because I believe they chose to hang around the wrong tree that was forbidden. Just hanging around forbidden waters makes them more sweet to you. Just like the cow standing in grass knee deep will cut her neck all up trying to get some on the other side of the barbed wire. That's kind of in our nature too. It's best to stay away from the things that you know are going to birth death and destruction in your life. Love all people. Don't get mad, mean, and argue with people. Pray for them. Love them. But stick with the Word. And if you find yourself thoughts coming like, well, there might be something to what they're saying. Run. You get your it is written and you stick with that. Because the enemy is trying to tweak away into your imagination and get you to imagine, agree, and come to a place of agreement over here so that you believe a lie and your mind becomes darkened so the light's not penetrating anymore. And then you get even more deceived and more deceived and more deceived. And that's really, I believe, progressive Christianity is they're just progressing in the deception. It starts out with a little compromise. Well, yeah, that scripture, maybe that one shouldn't have been in there. Maybe God's numbers of passages that said that it's wrong for a man to lie with a man, a woman to lie with a woman, that homosexuality is a sin. People see a baseball bat that God's just looking for someone to beat over the head with. No, it's God saying, let me protect you. Let me keep you from destruction. Let me lead you so that you can have the best life possible. You can fulfill the destiny I have for you. To be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth. God's ways are the best ways. It's proven. As I mentioned, the heavens, they're held in place right now by the Word of God. The sun, the moon, the planets, all that's working the way it does because God's Word that was spoken is still holding it powerfully and it's doing what it's supposed to do. God created us for a purpose and a plan. And when we let His Word get in us and we stick with that Word, then things begin to align and adjust and we're doing what we're supposed to do. And there's order that comes into our world and into our life. Doesn't mean we won't have battles. Doesn't mean we won't have persecution. Doesn't mean we won't have tribulation. We will. But it worked for Jesus. It is written. It would have worked for Adam and Eve. And they tried it to measure. Well, God said, it should have been, no thank you, because God said, no doubting, this Word is the living, eternal Word of God. I close with John's admonition. Do not love the world, neither the things in the world. For all is in the world is the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He goes on to say that none of that is of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And you can take that further than the bank. That'll take you all the way to heaven. That'll take you into eternity. I want you to stand with me this morning. That Word of God you've got in your life. I want to have a time of prayer in just a moment. I believe we got a lot of Word in us in this room. But it's like we need a shaking and a waking to realize the potential and the power that operates when we disbelieve God's word. Isn't it amazing how quickly that enemy was able to attack Peter after he just got a revelation? Because he's going to come. When you get that word in you, he's coming for it. Jesus said that when the seed's sown, the devil comes and tries to steal it. There's going to be warfare over that word in your life. But you need that word in your life to free other people who are in warfare. My wife reminded me the other day, she and I were in a session praying for a young lady. Her dad was a leader in a church, a well-known leader in a church. And she had come for prayer. She had gone off to college. She had gotten into some stuff. And we were praying, and it became really apparent that she had opened the door, and she had some demonization in her, some bondage. And we started praying with her, led her through repentance and confession, and then started having her renounce the specific things. I won't say what those things are, but had her renounce those choices she had made that opened the door for the enemy to access her life. Her eyes, when she started praying that, her eyes got real big. She began to frail. It's like she was trying to come up out of that chair, just like a terrified look come on her. It was obvious to both Mickey and me in that moment that the enemy has now arrived here. He is manifesting himself. Doesn't always happen that way, but occasionally. She started coming up out of the chair, and it was just one of those times when the Holy Spirit just moved. And I simply said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind your hands to that seat. And she was like this, and they went, and then she could not move. That's a pretty good sign. It's a devil. So, in the name of Jesus, I bind you, I command you. And in a few moments, she went limp. Her whole countenance changed. She's crying. The Lord set her free. That's the power. That's the power of His Word. Because His Word said that He's given us authority over all the power of the enemy. Greater is He who's in you than He's in the world. And that's just a little sampling of the many ways that we can make a difference in people's lives. It's people the devil's after. It's people that Jesus is after. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Greek. The word is near you this morning, dear friend, if you don't know Jesus. It's near you, even in your mouth, the word of faith which I've been preaching to you, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, right now, you will be saved. For the Scripture concludes that whoever believes on Him is not ashamed. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I pray anyone here this morning that you're being bound and kept back by some spirit other than a Holy Spirit. We just say in the name of Jesus, you be bound, spirit, contrary to the Holy Spirit. And you be loose, dear friend, to respond to the light that's in the Word of God and be set free this morning. And you come to Jesus. Maybe there's an infirmity that's been attacking you or some sickness you're in the battle with. This word says, we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. This word says, pray for one another. If we believe it's the living eternal word of God and it's in the book, then we ought to be doing what the book says. Not arguing about whether God still does it, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whatever was necessary for lost folks to get freed up and saved in the early church, that same devil's binding and blinding them today. And so we need that same power in today's church. So I'm asking our prayer team members to come now. And I ask you to be courageous. If you need a breakthrough in your life this morning, may the power of the Holy Spirit of God move upon you. May the Word of God come alive in you. Come and receive right now. If you need prayer for something, if God's dealing with you about something, then come and receive ministry. Thy word, O Lord, is settled forever in the heavens, the psalmist said. God watches over His word to perform it. It will accomplish the purpose for which God gave it to us. Lives be touched. May people be saved. May people be healed. May people be set free and delivered here today. Lord, this is Your house. Have Your way. Have Your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you step out and come? If you need prayer, we begin to worship. Just make your way forward. Don't hesitate. Now is the time. Now is the time. Come. We'll be dismissing you in a few moments. But step out. Now's your time. What's the Lord leading you to do this morning? Maybe there needs to be some confession, some repentance this morning. Move up and down these aisles and altars this morning. Anyone over here, you come. Come as the Holy Spirit leads you this morning.
From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of Your goodness.
Have Your way, Lord. Have Your way, Lord. Holy Spirit, have Your way.